Peter is going to help me with this one. I suppose, in a sense, it should be an electric guitar, but if it were an electric guitar, they probably couldn't hear me. I don't know. Yeah, okay, there's enough electricity to drown me out. Okay, go for it, Peter. Okay, this is the night the guitarist broke loose. Maybe the moon was right, as well as all the lights blinking in the dark Indiana sky. But everything was also in place inside the lounge, where a film crew was ready as he stood in position on stage, where the drummer's hands held the sticks high, ready to pound the beat, and the violinist's bow was ready to smoke across hot strings. And the keyboardist's fingers were poised to strike, to ignite black and white. It was her band, and he was her man, and she said, "Rock out, man." His guitar, newly let loose, made sounds nobody had ever heard it make. It honked, it wailed, it caterwauled, it careened, fuzzed up, and fooled around the corners of the notes, and blended and blurred and bent everything and sent sound in another direction. Go, Peter. Go, man. His left leg slung out and came back to the stage floor. The audience let itself howl its approval in the kind of animal sounds that were escaping from his guitar. The film crew smiled. The keyboardist sat facing her husband and her jaw dropped. Her smile spread as she pounded him on, and his guitar kept climbing and reaching and sassing and almost sobbing before resolving itself into a mad hieroglyphic of sound on the night that the woman keyboardist, leader of the band, let her husband rock out. Go, Peter. The animals in the cold crawled out of their lairs and sat up and listened as if Orpheus had descended into their midst. And the audience inside found their hands pounding together in ways they never had. And love was in the air. And the guitar spoke a language it must have known but was never before set loose. And there was a hooting tongue in the mouth of every man and woman who listened. The guitarist grinned and bowed after the last encore. When friends came up to compliment him, he said, "I just do whatever she lets me do." Da, 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 da. Nice little turnaround there, friend. All right, give it up for Peter, the guitarist who broke loose. Okay, we'll call the other guys back up here, and I think we'll probably do the New Orleans piece now, I think, finish with that. This is called Someone Who Misses New Orleans, which is about My wife, who's from Louisiana, Lafayette, I mean, all of you know this already, so I don't know why I'm saying this. For posterity, maybe? I don't know. There are ears around. And this is a poem that I wrote after we went down to New Orleans for the first New Orleans Jazz Festival after Katrina. And it was a very powerful experience. She has relatives or had relatives in New Orleans, and we have our own connections as a couple there. So that all comes up in this piece. And you're going to hear the band play Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans, which is a song not written by Louis Armstrong but made famous by him in a movie. I know someone who knows what it means to miss New Orleans, the visits to relatives who lived in a small shotgun house on Ferret Street in Uptown, played canasta there with cousins, slurped snow cones from a neighborhood stand. I know someone who knows what it means to miss New Orleans, who as a college student drove down Robert E. Lee Boulevard, not far from Lake Pontchartrain, to a college that no longer exists, looking at pink oleander in bloom. Someone who loves crepe myrtle and camellia and magnolia and still believes summer begins in March, though March is a cruel month up north. I know someone who knows what it means to miss New Orleans, who married a young man from Indiana, which happens to rhyme with Louisiana, who waited for him to fly down to meet her Cajun family for the first time, eat crawfish stew, Mississippi River shrimp, gumbo, okra, and stuffed eggplant, sip strong coffee from a family demitasse, and just made it back out of the airport on the very last flight before Camille hit with her full fury. I know someone who knows what it means to miss New Orleans, who felt the diamond ring being slipped on her finger on a bench in City Park under the live oaks and Spanish moss, who brought her new husband to stay in her brother's apartment in the Pontavo building on Jackson Square near St. Louis Cathedral and sip Café au lait and Savior Beignet and Café du Monde, like a new communicant as jazz oozed and pulsed out of every building in the all-night French Quarter. I know what it means to know someone who misses New Orleans, someone who married a young man who brought her to live far away from home in New York, leaving her mother sad but too proud to complain. I know someone who knows what it means to miss New Orleans, because when her mother and father married, they moved to the city from the country and lived on Tonte Street in mid-city and ate red beans and rice every Monday for dinner. And one day, many years later, in another part of the United States, as Katrina whirled across the Gulf, she turned on the TV, watched the waters of the lake and the Gulf batter the levee, and silently sobbed as the waters rose up the sides of houses and buildings, winds howling through the live oaks. I know someone who knows what it means to return to New Orleans with beloved old friends, to drive up and down streets in Lakeview, Bucktown, the lower Ninth Ward and Araby, and see houses blown off their concrete blocks, trees twisted and crushed under roofs, crashed under roofs, windows blasted out by winds, everyday objects of ordinary lives scattered, piled and heaped everywhere like rubble in a war-ravaged country. I know someone who knows what it means to miss New Orleans and come back and see painted on the wall of a condemned house, on the front porch, a red, white and blue American flag with a hand-painted caption below, God bless America. I also know what it means to come back with someone who loves New Orleans and finds jazz the heartbeat of a Sunday mass celebrated by an African-American priest with a Cajun name in Treme, in St. Augustine Church, in a parish the Catholic authorities had decreed would be eliminated before the people refused to let it die, because the Spirit of God shook their bodies to the core as to the backing of trumpet, saxophone, guitar, banjo, bass, piano, and drums. They sang hymns and spirituals that lifted their spirits and made them believe deep in their hearts that we are all children of God who want to be among that number and whose spirits shall rise higher than the waters and winds of any storm, named after any man or woman or generations of injustice could ever bring down to the ground and keep down low. And made them believe deep in their hearts that we are all children of God who want to be among that number and whose spirits shall rise higher than the waters and winds of any storm, named after any man or woman or generations of injustice could ever bring down to the ground and keep down low. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, Peter Kienle and Carolyn Dutton and Monica Herzig. Thanks to the band.